Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And no co-host tonight, but I have a great guest with me tonight. And we have a, you know, specific topic that we're going to discuss tonight. And it's a topic that, you know, many of our listeners may find of benefit to them. And we're even willing to take calls if you have a specific question on this topic. And what is that topic? The topic is family law. Well, family law means lots of different things, and we have our favorite guest, Farrier Stillman, with us, and I'll bring her on in a second. But family law covers lots of different topics. The main one, and I guess the family law is a polite way of saying divorce. And so family law is about divorce, but it's more than just divorce. So, you know, we will address all and any questions, if you have any, on divorce. But it also covers topics like guardianship, you know, so who gets custody of the kids, or what happens if both parents can't raise the kids? How about grandparents? Do they have rights to come in and take over as the guardian of the children and so forth? Or what happens if both parents pass away and the children need to be raised by a guardian and there was no will? Nobody said who gets to take care of the kids from that point on. So, you know, it deals with guardianship. So family law has lots of different things. And in this world, you know, you also have lots of different provisions that have been passed by the you know, the government about family leave. You know, what happens if my spouse is sick? Can I stay home and take care of them? What if my kids are sick? Can I stay home and take care of them? And so forth and so forth. So family law covers lots of different things, and not just divorce, but divorce is probably one of the biggest. Prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements. You know, what are the power of these agreements? Are they effective? What if my spouse and I were married in later in life, and we signed a prenuptial agreement, and you know, now one of us needs nursing care help? You know, so there's all kinds of things that family law deals with. And our favorite guest on this topic, Farrier Stillman. Farrier, are you with us tonight?
Hi.
There you.
I am. Drew.
There you are. How you doing?
I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great, and everything's well in your firm and with your family and everything?
Yes, thank you. How about with your firm and family?
Yes, everything's going great. Farrier is a lawyer with the firm of Tidings and Rosenberg in downtown Baltimore, and they have a couple offices, but I believe you hang out in the downtown Baltimore office. Is that correct? Or right now, you're probably hanging out at home, right?
Well, I hang out in both our Towson office and downtown.
Okay. You're not working out of home much?
Not so much anymore.
Okay. Well, that's good. And so we're dealing with it. Is there anything else about family law? If somebody wanted to call in and to ask a question that, you know, that I didn't address in my introduction?
Adoptions.
Adoption, yeah.
Law.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, and mediation. And within the scope of divorce, not only custody, which you very ably discussed all the different types of custody, but child support, alimony, and division of property. And even for people who weren't married but have a child together, there's still custody and child support to be worked out.
Yeah, that's true. An interesting topic. You know, and another area, an interesting area of family law is, you know, the new concept of same-sex couples and having family and so forth. And what happens if there's a division in that situation, you know? So it's really, you know, it's getting far more complex in all areas of personal finance and law and so forth. You know, and another interesting one is the people who freeze eggs and sperm and so forth. And if it's used, especially if it's ever used after a person has passed away, who froze it? Have you ever had to deal with anything that unusual? I've read a couple cases about it.
I haven't had one specifically where the eggs were frozen and then someone died. But I've had other cases revolving around similar issues of ownership of and custody of the eggs. And it's, you know, it's technologically possible, and the law rarely catches up with technology.
Yeah. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If not, then Farrier and I will just conduct a conversation about all the different changes that have taken place. And the area of divorce has had a radical transformation in the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes, in certain ways, definitely.
So give us a couple of those, or one of those, the big one, you know?
Now much easier to get a divorce in Maryland than it used to be. Maryland used to be one of the most difficult states to get a divorce in. It took a really long time. I'm not saying it's quick in Maryland, but it's certainly quicker than it used to be.
So in the past, you had, what, 12 months of full separation, you know, et cetera, before you could get divorced. What's the rules now?
Well, actually, it was even worse before. If you were the one that left and the other spouse didn't agree, you had to wait 2 years of being separated.
Oh.
And even if that wasn't the case, if it was a separation and the parties didn't agree and it wasn't voluntary, you could be accused of desertion or constructive desertion, and you were still stuck with the year. And in practical terms, I mean, now you have to wait a year if there isn't an agreement, but in practical terms, especially nowadays with the courts, it's not like you're getting a divorce very soon anyway.
Right, right. So we have to take our first pause, but I just want to let everyone know we're talking about divorce law, we're talking about guardianship, adoption, family law, anything to deal with the family. Farrier Stillman's here to answer your question. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And right now, I got to take my first pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well... You
now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680.
There's a classic old song there, you know, coming to take me away to the funny farm, you know. Anyway, enough of that. That's a strange song. Anyway, we're here with Farrier Stillman, who's a lawyer with the law firm of Tidings and Rosenberg, and she is a family law attorney. That basically means divorce, but it also means adoption. It means guardianship and many other things. And if you want to call and ask a question like Tom is here, on, you can feel free to call 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you have a question on alimony or child support, or maybe maybe you're not getting your child support and you're wondering what can be done. Or maybe you're paying alimony and you feel you're paying too much and how can you get it reduced, or whatever the question might be. If it has to do with family law, that would be a great opportunity to call in. 410-922-6680. I'm going to Tom in Glen Burnie. Tom, how can we help you?
Yes, how you doing?
Doing great.
Calling in reference. Well, my wife, she left me. She stepped out the marriage, and she had discovered that we had a child, and the child was not mine, though they did a DNA test, not through court order, but I was able to obtain a DNA test, discovered the child was not mine, zero probability. She left me, and so now I've been sending her money. She went up to Pennsylvania. I'm here in Maryland. She went to Pennsylvania, and she has a child with her. So my question is, I know we've been separated, so I don't know. I'm just trying to see what are my options. In other words, am I going to be responsible to pay her for alimony and child support, being the fact that she did what she did? I do send her money every week.
Well, let's see what Farrier has to say, Tom. Farrier, how can we help him?
So, Tom, I can tell you generally about the law. I can't specifically advise you about your situation. If you, depending on your circumstances, you may be required or not required to pay alimony. There are a whole list of factors that determine if someone has to pay alimony. They include, but aren't limited to, the length of the marriage, how much each party earns, if anything, their age, the contributions, economic and non-economic, that people made to the marriage, their standard of living, etc. So you may want to consult with a family law attorney to see if you're likely to have to pay alimony and how much. And there are something called alimony guidelines, which is a program that you can use, the software program, to figure out if you're likely to have to pay alimony and how much. But the court does not have to abide by them. They can just help a court. In terms of child support, basically, if you're married to the mom when the child is born, you're considered the father. You would have to prove that you weren't the father before you would be released from a child support obligation. Hope that answers your question.
But you can prove that. Can you prove that, Tom?
Yes. I mean, because I took a DNA test.
Okay, so he's got the proof of that, so he wouldn't be held for that. Is that correct, Farrier?
Well, again, I can't answer specifically for Tom. I can tell you that that the way to do it is to, if you can't persuade your wife, to go to court show proof that you are not the child's biological father, and presuming that, you know, the judge accepts the DNA test, you may very well not have to pay child support anymore.
So you're saying that his best bet is to go through the divorce proceedings with a family law lawyer in order to show the courts that the child's not his, and et cetera, and, you know, and that will bring this to some form of specific resolution to Tom, correct?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this question, Farrier. Could he go through mediation with a mediator if his wife's willing to?
Definitely.
Yeah, but would he, and then again, it would have to come down to, she would have to agree that he doesn't owe child support because it's not his child, that if he went with a mediator. But if he went with the full outright law suit for divorce, he'd be able to prove that to the courts and absolutely get away with it, but it's a lot more involved and expensive to some degree.
Yes, and I can't say he'd absolutely be released from paying child support because every case is fact-specific. Mediation is much less expensive and much quicker. It's just as you said, if you don't come to an agreement with your spouse.
I have to stop you there. You know, so I'm confused. If his wife has a child when they're married, I can understand how the law says he's automatically considered he owes child support. But if he can prove with a DNA test that that child is not mine, How could the courts possibly hold him to child support? And I'm not talking about Tom's specific case. I'm just talking about a general case.
So, in general, courts don't accept all DNA tests from any lab. So it has to be a DNA test that the court accepts from a specific lab. And frankly, courts are very reluctant to release anyone from paying child support because of the fear that if no one is supporting this child and the mom can't support the child, they're going to wind up on welfare, the child and maybe the mother. So courts take a lot of convincing before they're just going to automatically say, you're not the father, you know, too bad.
Tom, do you have any idea who the father might be? And
Yes. Do you know who the father is? Yes.
And the DNA test proves that?
But the DNA test, the test that I took, this wasn't a court order test. I was able to obtain the child's DNA, discovered it. I am not the biological father in any means. And so, but I do know who the guy is.
Okay. Well, I think that would be important that you get a lawyer who can go through the process to get the right DNA test and also subpoena the other person who could be the real father to get his DNA test or, you know, and prove that the paternal rights of that child are his, not yours.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
But I'm not a lawyer, so I can only tell you. All right, good. We got another question here, Farrier. I ought to put my glasses on there. I can't get that up, Chris. Number two. Chris, are you there, Chris? Oh, that's why I can't, because you haven't given it to me yet. Ralph in White Marsh. Well, I'm almost out of time with my second. Oh, there I go. Ralph in White Marsh. Hey, Chris, am I doing okay for you? No.
sir.
Yes, Ralph, how can we help you?
All right, awesome. I love your show, and you are so informative and educational. Don't stop. But anyway, to get to the point, I fell in love with a woman. She is younger than me. She's also pregnant by somebody else. We made an agreement that I'm willing to help her through a pregnancy and raise a child, and in a year from now, she's going to give me one. What I need to know is, I don't plan on marrying her until after the child is born, but in Maryland, if I marry her, am I responsible to pay for this child, or do I have to write some kind of contract so that should things change, I'm not responsible because it's not my child? What do I do, sir?
Don't ask me. Ask Farrier. Farrier?
So this is relate to the last question. If a man is married to a woman when she has a child, the presumption is that it's his child and he has a duty to support the child. So get around that or to not have to be released from paying child support, the dad needs to be able to prove he's not the father. And frankly, it helps very, very much. I mean, Drew made this very good point with the last gentleman. It helps very, very much to be able to point out who the father is and if he won't voluntarily take a DNA test to ask the court to order him to.
But he's not gonna be married to her when she delivers the child.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Then you have no legal obligation to a child that is not biologically yours, or you didn't adopt, or you're not married to the mother at the time of birth.
Right. So as long as you wait, Ralph, until after the child's born to get married, you would, if the marriage fell apart, what I think Farrier just said to us is that you would not have to raise that stepchild. You would not have to pay child support.
And I wouldn't have to pay her alimony or palimony.
Well, now you could possibly pay alimony. That's a whole different story there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and that would be where, you know, maybe Farrier, if he wanted to, depending on what assets he has, he might want to consider a prenuptial agreement with her.
You're totally right.
Yep. So consider a prenuptial agreement before you get married. And do it after the child is born.
Okay, and what kind of an idea, just a various idea, what kind of prenup agreements do I go with? What points do I put out?
That's a whole complicated issue, and she couldn't even begin to answer that question unless knew your specific situation, Ralph. Good question, though. Maybe she'll address some general issues on that when we come back from the break, okay?
Okay, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Tell her thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you all.
Thank you, Ralph. Take care.
You're welcome.
So, Farrier, you're going to get to give some general ideas of prenuptials when we come back. But anybody out there who wants to get online, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And if you want to get online and ask a question to Farrier Stillman about family law, that's divorce, adoption, child support, alimony, you know, all kinds of different things. That's what family law covers, anything dealing with the family. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask Farrier of Tidings and Rosenberg a question on the topic that she's an expert in and one of our favorites to talk to when we have issues and any of our clients that are going through a situation where there might be a divorce. So feel free to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. And, you know, Farrier, Ralph, the last caller, had a great question, you know, about how does he protect himself to make sure that this or that. And, you know, one of the things he was asking about is if I get married and something doesn't work out, am I going to have to pay a lot of alimony or whatever, you know, to my wife if we get divorced? And a prenuptial agreement can help with that situation. What are some of the features of a prenuptial, and what are some of the things to think about and so forth?
So the purpose of a prenuptial agreement is either to guarantee a legal right or responsibility that exists now but could change in the future, or to give the party something that the law would necessarily give them. So, for instance, when you get married, you take a risk that you're going to have to pay alimony if you get divorced. But in a prenuptial agreement, the parties can waive alimony altogether, or they can put in place a schedule of how much alimony would be paid for how long. Same with division of property. Let's say you own property and you want to put it in your wife's name for protection from, you know, bankruptcy from creditors. But if you get divorced, you don't want her to own any of the property. So you could put in a prenuptial agreement that even though the house is going to be put in both parties' names, if they get divorced, the wife is going to waive her interest in it.
Right.
Couple things you cannot do with a prenuptial agreement is agree to an amount of child support or custody, because the issue with children is always what's in the best interest of the children, and that's going to be at the time of a divorce, not, you know, 6 years ago or whatever when you entered into a prenuptial agreement.
Right, but now you're not referring to stepchildren. You're only referring to actual children of the couple.
That's correct.
Or adopted children of the couple. So if I get married to somebody who already has two children and we get divorced, I have no responsibility for child support for those stepchildren. I only have responsibility possibly for alimony or something of that sort.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. And you know, the whole concept of prenuptial agreements is a difficult and complicated one to me, because I wrap my head around it and I say, if you're doing a prenuptial agreement, what is the purpose of getting married anyway? You probably have asked that question a few times yourself, right? But they're paying you to do it, so you're not going to press the issue.
Well, I have had people come in who there's no reason I can think of or they really articulate as to why they want a prenuptial agreement. So, you know, I'll tell them what the law is and whether a prenuptial agreement could help them or whether it's not really going to make a difference, and they can make up their mind. But generally, I mean, sometimes people come in and they don't really need one, but most of the people who come in for a prenuptial agreement, there's something that a prenuptial agreement can do to help them out financially or legally.
Well, I'll give you one that, you know, I do recommend a prenuptial agreement, and that's when two people are coming together in a second marriage and there's wealth in each party's name that they want to go to their family. And if you don't do a prenuptial agreement, you could potentially have the wealth that you accumulated prior to that marriage ending up in lots of different places other than in your children's hands.
That is 100% true, and it is the most reason or the biggest reason for people to enter into a prenuptial agreement is exactly what you just said.
That is, and now you also have had, and this is a new thing in Maryland, Maryland has just dramatically changed its rules to what is considered a marital right, or whatever you want to call it. What's the word for it? Upon the death of either spouse, you know.
Oh, yeah, the spousal share.
The spousal share. That's a great word for it. So to explain everybody what used to be the law and what is now the law, Maryland just changed that, I believe, this last year, right?
Yes. So with the caveat that I am not an estates and trust attorney, and that really is more the estates and trust side than family law, essentially what happened is that the scope of property that is subject to the statutory share has been expanded. So the statutory share essentially means that you can't disinherit your spouse unless they agree in a prenuptial agreement or when the inheritance would come, they decline it. There's a certain amount, depending on a lot of factors, that your spouse is going to get. Even if you cut him or her out of the will, they have the right to what's called elect against the will. And that's one of the reasons that people enter into a prenuptial agreement, so that they're free to leave their estate whoever they want, however they want.
Right. And so used to be, I think it was like a third, but it was only a third of what actually went through what's called the probate estate. Is that correct? Or what you said, you're not an estate attorney, but you know, do you have a general feel for that?
I do, and what you said is correct.
So under the new law, now it's any asset going to anyone, from you to anyone, whether it's going through a beneficiary designation or a probate estate or whatever, and it's up to 50% now, I believe.
So that is beyond, that gets you into estate and trust law, not family law, and I would want to give an opinion in a field that I am not really comfortable in.
But yeah, but you know, even if it's just a third of all those other assets now, it's getting a far more, you know, interesting. And so that's a reason why a lot of people like to do a prenuptial agreement when they're coming into a second marriage and they want to protect and preserve assets for their family and their children. Because if you don't, you enter into that marriage and now all of a sudden you pass away first and your will said nothing goes to my wife, and she agreed to that, okay, in a verbal sense between you, and then all of a sudden you've passed away, and the spouse walks in and says, hey, I want a third, I want my spousal share of the estate. There's no prenuptial between us. I never agreed to anything like that. That is probable, correct?
It is. It absolutely is.
And it happens more often than you might imagine.
Well, it does. And, you know, clients will say to me on a variety of subjects, well, we agreed. And I say, was it in writing? And they say, no, it was verbal. And I say, that has no legal effect.
Yeah, unfortunately. Anyway, you know, hold on for us, Ferry. We're going into the final quarter of the show. This show's moving very fast because always when you have a great guest, things move very fast. And if you want to get online, you only have 10 minutes or so left. 410-922-6680. Ask Ferry or Stillman a question about family law, divorce, adoption, guardianship, so child support, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, I have to go to traffic. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yep. It's not raining right now, though, right? No. Anyway, we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Ferry Stillman, a family law attorney with Tidings and Rosenberg. And if you want to call in, we have about 7 or 8 minutes left. We got Gary on the line, but we could probably take one or two more calls, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. Gary in Columbia, how can we help you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to follow up a little bit on your discussion about spousal share.
Sure.
You mentioned that for a person dying intestate, I guess, that the share used to be 33%. Now it's different. My understanding was that it was 50% in the case of a divorce. So are those two different conditions or and two different percentages, or at least were they different?
Farrier?
So, what happens in a divorce is distinct from what happens when someone dies. So the statutory share only applies if your spouse dies or you die and what your spouse gets. That is different than what would happen in a divorce case.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. And I guess that's different in different states. For example, in Pennsylvania, I think if you die intestate, the wife is entitled to 50%.
Right. Now, intestate, it just means, Gary, that you died without a will.
Right.
Okay? And that's a different thing even than what we're talking about, which is spousal share.
Right.
Okay? So this gets complicated. So if I die without a will, mm-hmm. then what the state of Maryland is going to do is going to look at, am I married? Yes. Do I have children? Yes. Then give the children, let's call it 50%, and the wife 50%.
Mm-hmm.
In Pennsylvania, they might have it where, and I don't know Pennsylvania off the top of my head, but they might give it, you know, all to the spouse. I believe, I'm almost confident that Virginia's intestate laws will give it 100% to the spouse, even if there are children, okay? So every state does have a little different intestate law.
Right.
Now, the spousal share is if I do, if I take all my assets, even though I'm married, and I take all my assets and leave it to other people like my children or whatever, and leave absolutely nothing to my wife, then I would have impoverished her. She could go to the courts and say, I want a third of my marital right assets. Now, that's totally different than what Ferrier talks about, which is divorce. And if you say, I'm divorcing you, I'm not dead,
mm-hmm.
I'm divorcing you, and I'm taking all my assets and impoverishing you, Ferrier, on the other side of the coin, representing the wife, will say, no, 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 you can't do that because we have a marital right in those assets. And, you know, whether it's 50-50 or not, is a little complicated, but, you know, and Ferrier, is it technically, are the courts looking to split marital assets exactly 50-50? Or are there different nuances that could change that?
No, in Maryland, the law is not 50-50. In Maryland, there's a number of factors that the court looks at. So, no, it's not necessarily 50-50.
Well, what are some of the factors that could change the split of marital assets? And what is a marital asset in all states is a different thing for the divorce also. So that gets complicated in and of itself. But what's the factors, Ferrier?
So among them are the length of the marriage, the ages of the parties, the standard of living during the marriage, the economic and non-economic contributions that each made to the marriage, what effect it'll have on each party, depending on how the marital property is divided, the financial resources of the parties in terms of non-marital property that they may have.
Right.
So those are the big ones.
So, Gary, does that answer your question, sort of?
Very good. Very good explanation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Take care. We're going to David in Denton. David in Denton, how can we help you?
Yes, I would like to let you know my experience with prenups. they really don't mean a whole lot in the state of Maryland. I found that out. I was only married 6 years. I contributed everything. I owned everything. I helped my ex-wife buy her house. I had proof that she had a prenup with her previous husband, and a judge in Easton, Maryland, threw it out, said she didn't understand what prenups were when she had one with her previous husband. So it all depends on the judge you go before. They're not always all that honorable. And
your point, David, is you know, I'm sure Ferrier is not going to disagree with you that they're not rock solid, right, Ferrier?
Right.
Yeah, there are a number of tests that have to pass, the prenup has to pass in order for it to be enforceable. And, of course, even if it's legally completely enforceable, you never know what a judge is going to do.
You also never know how much the other person is willing to fight. And if they're willing to fight, how long are you going to fight to try to stop from putting out more money and it costs you more than what you're going to protect? You know, so
this is all very true. It's a great game for lawyers because they're the only ones that really come out ahead. So,
You know, I think the good ones like Ferrier try to make sure that they, you know, do them rightly and you understand what you got and what the party's powers and so forth are. But it's a great point, David. And you know, in Ferrier, you got a lot of big name, people in this country, be it in wealthy or in the movies or whatever, and you hear about they had a prenuptial and they were supposed to get $10 million or $100 million. And next thing you know, they went through some kind of fight and they ended up with $350 million instead of $100 million. You hear that all the time. And so David's point is well taken.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, some prenuptial agreements are written in a way that they're not going to be upheld. They're going to be vacated. So you have to make sure that the lawyer who is doing your prenuptial agreement really knows that area of law.
Sure. So we only have about a minute and a half left. What kind of things do you want to tell? Tell everybody how they get in touch with you, first and foremost. Make sure you repeat it at least twice so that they can hear the number and remember it. All right?
Thank you. So my office phone number is 410-752-9731. That's 410-752-9731.
Right. And you're with Tidings in Rosenberg, so they can just look that up online. Is there a simple way of remembering the law firm's website?
It's tidingslaw.com, just think of Senator Tidings or the Tidings Bridge.
Right.
And that's all you have to do.
TYDINGSlaw.com, right?
Yep.
Tidings Law. So anything else? Got about a half a minute. Anything you want to, 20 seconds, 30 seconds to add before we finish up here, Farrier?
Just to thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you always do a great job, and I really appreciate it. And it's a difficult area you deal with on a day-to-day basis, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you got a lot of emotions flying when you're dealing with parties in a divorce situation or even an adoption situation, you know. So I appreciate your help, Farrier.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, Farrier Stillman, Tidings and Rosenberg. You can look them up online, tidingslaw.com, if you want to find Farrier, or she gave you the number earlier. I appreciate her being with you, with us tonight. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Things are gonna be much better.